on Sunday morning, we spoke about the last verse of Isaiah 40. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. And the choir sang that. That was great to hear the choir sing that song. And apply those verses to us. Ho, reapers in the whitened harvest, oft feeble, faint, and few come. Wait upon the blessed Master, strength he will renew. And on Sunday morning, I tried to look back in Isaiah 40 at this thought, who is this God upon whom we wait? And we looked at the testimony of the earth that we see there, the testimony of nature, the testimony of the heavens, the testimony of the saints, how great, how glorious, how holy, how faithful, how mighty, how gracious is this God. And you remember at the end of the meeting we sang, great is thy faithfulness. I've been looking at Isaiah 40, as I suppose I do often. It's one of my favorite chapters. And in connection with something that I've been hearing in these days, several of you have mentioned to me in one form or another, and I have also mentioned it from up here. I found myself saying that we ought to keep our eyes on Jesus, train our eyes on Jesus, fix our eyes on Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And one brother told me that keep your eyes on Jesus is a theme of one of his leaders. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Eyes where they belong. I always remember, and I've quoted it probably here, I say it at home often, reading in the writings of Alexander White, that God created us. We human beings were created with an inner eye. And the reason that he created that inner eye and gave us that capacity to see, in addition to seeing with our natural sight, was that we might behold his Son. How many people can do that? And how many people do that, though? I think they're missing what that capacity was created for. Well, we don't want to be like that, do we? We want to look at Jesus and keep our eyes right where they belong. And in Isaiah 40, I noticed a wonderful command. And it said this, behold your God. Take a look at your God. And we were doing that Sunday morning. Behold your God, faithful God. Mighty God, gracious God, oh, this is the God upon whom we wait. But here in this ninth verse, it says, behold your God. And I'm saying this for Brother Gus tonight. Hope you don't mind. You're all allowed to listen in. Oh, to have a clearer sight, to see the Lord with this inner eye. The prophet Isaiah was speaking about the deliverer that God was promising to send into the world to rescue and redeem humanity. And as we know, that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And in the 10th verse of Isaiah 40, we read about what a strong God and Savior he is. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And we know what a mighty Savior our Jesus is. He has won a mighty victory over sin and over death. For this purpose, we read, the Son of God was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus mastered, Jesus conquered the devil in all his power, and he has conquered death, and he has conquered the grave. And what a mighty God and Savior he is. But then we come to the 11th verse, and we see what seems to be an entirely different picture. And I know some of you know that I love contrasts. And sometimes I point them out when we sing a hymn or something, like we sang this one the other day. Oh, worship the King, all glorious above, and gratefully sing his power and his love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. Oh, tell of his might. Oh, sing of his grace. You have it on other, in that very hymn. It says, his mercies, how tender, how firm to the end. And God is great. And, of course, these not contradictions, but these contrasts will be found in someone as great as God is. Oh, one of the, I guess, greatest things, at least the greatest treatments of this that I have ever come across was by Jonathan Edwards. This was called to my attention, and there is a sermon among his works about the diverse, I believe he calls them, the diverse excellencies of Christ. And he uses as his text, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed, to open the book and loose the seals thereof. And I turned, I looked, and behold, a Lamb in the midst of the throne. And he talks about the Lion. That's where, that's his springboard, the Lion and the Lamb. But then he follows this, the truth and faithfulness and love and grace, you know, through the Scriptures. And I'm sure that there are some of you here who would find that interesting. Maybe you've already seen it and read it, but you would find that sermon of his interesting. And if you think these sermons are lengthy, read that one and just imagine how long it took to deliver it. We're talking hours, not hours, but multiple hours. It must have taken, if he said all those words at even a good clip. And wonderful, wonderful, just the picture, the sight that you get of Jesus. And here the prophet Isaiah is kind of giving us a portrait of the Lord Jesus, and you see his might and his power, oh my. And then you see his great tenderness. This picture that you have in the 11th verse. And I thought of it too when Mary May spoke the other night, how she said, the Lord has been touching her heart and showing himself to her as the Good Shepherd. Some of you were here when she said that. She told how she had been lost out here on second or third brother. She lost her way. She was with someone else, but they both were very badly lost. And she just mentioned, she applied that to the way the Lord seeks and finds and rescues us. But with such tenderness, we sing in tenderness, he sought me, weary and sick with sin, and on his shoulders brought me back to his fold again, while angels in his presence sang until the courts of heaven rang. He didn't realize what a big issue it was when you were brought to the fold, that all heaven was rejoicing. Well, you knew it and when you thought about it, because it says so in the Bible. But how tenderly he sought us. He saw our need, and he went after us. And then he washed the bleeding sin wounds, and poured in oil and wine, and whispered to assure me, I found thee, thou art mine. I never heard a sweeter voice. It made my aching heart rejoice. He pointed to the nail prints. For me his blood was shed. A mocking crown so thorny was placed upon his head. I wondered what he saw in me to suffer such deep agony. But here we have the same Savior, the same mighty Savior, who has come to destroy the works of the enemy. We see him in his tenderness, in his tender shepherd care, in his going after the lost ones, who, as the other song says, were lost far away, and oh, how he went after them as the good shepherd of the sheep. Lord, how does it say, Lord, thou hast here thy 99, are they not enough for thee? The shepherd made answer this of mine, has wandered away from me, and although the road be rough and steep, I go to the desert to find my sheep. Lord, whence are those blood drops? All the way that mark out the mountain track, they are shed for one who had gone astray, ere the shepherd could bring him back. Lord, whence are thy hands so rent and torn? They are pierced tonight by many a thorn. How tenderly he went after all of us, for all we like sheep have gone astray and have turned everyone to his own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now Jesus is one and the same, strong and mighty, tender and loving and gracious. I suppose we view him from various perspectives. From a human standpoint, we can think of him as going forth with vengeance against his enemies and ours, and fighting against them in all his strength. As it says here, he will come with strong hand and mighty arm. And as he looks at Satan and sin and evil and all the foes and everything that has come against us and has brought such ruin into the world, of course, he says, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, and I will come with a strong arm, and I will set my face like flint, and I will go to the cross, and I will defeat the foe, and nothing will deter me from doing the will of my Father and accomplishing the eternal purpose which he purposed in me, in Christ Jesus our Lord. And he was willing, and he delighted to do God's will. As we said this morning, there was a joy that was set before him. I don't know, maybe that was last night, but for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despised the shame. Oh, he wrought salvation for us. And yet, with a tenderness of heart, certainly he's strong and mighty when he looks at these foes and all of our enemies and all of our sin, but then he looks at us in all of our need and all of our sin and all of our shame, and he comes to save us. Remember that song, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven? It just comes to me now, and in order to get it, that line that I'm thinking of right, I'm just going to look that up. Do you see? It says, Father-like, speaking about the King of Heaven, he tends and spares us well our feeble frame, he knows. In his hands he gently bears us, rescues us from all our foes. Hallelujah, hallelujah, widely as his mercy flows. but all this tenderness. And seeing the Lord like this, I thought of that often. I don't think he'll mind. I don't want to embarrass Brother Gus. But often when Brother Gus speaks at Ridgewood and gives a testimony, it's not all that often, but when he does, there's that tenderness. I think all my brothers and sisters that come from our church would say that. There's some tenderness there that shows us that he sees the Lord as loving and kind, as the one who has drawn him with cords of loving kindness to himself. And I believe God is pleased when we see Jesus like that, see him in these various ways, yes, but especially tonight, just to think of his tenderness. He wants to set you free from all the foes that have brought you down, the sin that yet so easily besets us. He wants to deliver us. He wants to exert his power against our foes, and yet he deals with us so tenderly. Another song of ours says, so tenderly the Savior pleads for all his own. He intercedes, and still he's saying, come to me, and you will find rest unto your souls. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, come to me. Come and learn of me, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Come, and I will give you rest. That's Jesus' heart. There is a tenderness there that is unparalleled anywhere. You cannot find it. He comes to bind the brokenhearted. He comes to set the captive free. He comes to take you and me and all of our corruption and all of our unworthiness and give us, as we said before, his beauty. Beauty for ashes. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to set at liberty those who are bound, to speak deliverance to the captives. This is a mighty, powerful gospel. But Jesus comes in tenderness to seek us out and to save us from sin and self. And oh, what a wonderful thing it is to get that sight. And tonight I thought if I speak about the Good Shepherd, I could speak about Jesus describing himself in the 10th chapter of John as the Good Shepherd of the sheep. But I think maybe I'll try to cut it a little shorter tonight. I feel the heat, as I'm sure you do. But don't give up on me yet, okay? Just know that Jesus is mighty to save and mighty to keep and tender and gracious and loving as no one else could possibly ever be. And he wants to fill your heart with his love and with his grace and with his purity, with his holiness, with his righteousness, and give you beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And the prophet Isaiah says, oh, may God's people, he says, the cities of Judah, that just means God's people to us. Oh, may they behold God and see the deliverer, the one who is coming, the only one who can set them free and redeem them from all iniquity and make them the people that God has wanted them to be. Titus, remember how he said that he wants to redeem, or he came to redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a people, a peculiar people. That means special people, a people that belong to him, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And oh, how he works with us. when God was introducing him also through the prophet Isaiah. In one of those servant songs, he said, "Behold my servant, whom I delight in." He says, "I put my spirit upon him." That's quoted in the New Testament when Jesus was baptized and the Spirit descended like a dove upon him. Those words from Isaiah 42 are quoted. "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." God is well pleased with his Son and testified to it there before those who witnessed that glorious scene of his baptism at the Jordan River. But that is all foretold in Isaiah 42, and we know it's about Jesus, not because we think we have a special interpretation of the prophets, but because Matthew, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in his gospel, said that Isaiah was speaking about Jesus when he spoke those or wrote those words. That was the word of the Lord. "Behold my servant." Take a look at Jesus. "I delight in him. I have put my spirit upon him. I am pleased with him. And his ministry," that means, "pleases me." And it's interesting the way that ministry is described there. It's a modest ministry. He doesn't cry out. He doesn't need to make a big splash and a big scene. It says that he doesn't have to cry out loud or cause his voice to be heard in the streets. That's not what he's about. He's about changing people on the inside, from the inside out. He wants to come to them and save them. As the servant of Jehovah, he would fulfill all the Father's will. And it says there, speaking about his tenderness, "A bruised reed will he not break, smoking flax will he not quench." He's so tender. The weakest he'll work with. You go along and you see a bruised reed there, you can pluck it, you can have your way with it, of course. You play with it. If you see a candle, we have to have a cake with candles sometime, or maybe next year for you. But we snuff those smoking wicks out, don't we? But Jesus sees there's a little spark, and I can fan that flame and cause it to blaze forth, so that one can know God and love him and know his purpose for being and enter into it. That's how Jesus is, so tender. And he feeds his flock, and he gathers the lambs, and he carries them in his bosom. Yes, he gently leads those that are with young. Imagine those that are expecting children or have recently had them. They can't move along just as fast as the others. So what does the shepherd do? He gently leads them along. He knows everything about us. He knows your need and mine. And he's so tender and great and yet so strong. In that same passage, in Isaiah 42, it says that he will not fail and he will not be discouraged and he will accomplish his purpose. That's the strength, that inner strength, that perseverance. The Son of God had that too, as no one else has ever possessed it. That perseverance. "I'm going to do the will of God. I'm going to follow through." And oh, let us follow him. And all God's great servants, God put that love in their heart, even the fiery ones. Think of the Apostle Paul beseeching the saints by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. "I could throw my weight around. I could be strong and powerful when I come to you, but I want to beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ." in Peter's epistles. You just feel it. You read Peter's epistles and you feel that tenderness that is developed through experience, worked through suffering and trial and testing, and you read those epistles and you can't escape it. You just cannot escape it. And God works that in His servants, not only the great apostles and ministers, but in you as you yield yourself to Him. And as you behold the Lord, you behold His strength and you behold His tenderness, and He'll change us into His likeness, give us beauty for ashes. I think I was going to kind of break up what I was saying and try to sing this chorus with you, but I think I'm nearing the end. I just want us to behold our God in these days. Take a look at Him as we see Him in His Word, and then as we behold Him, expect that He can change us and give us that, shall we say, modesty and tenderness and perseverance as He had. I believe you know this chorus comes from Isaiah 61, and you're going to help me. Let's sing it in 3 flats, also the key of choice for tonight. He gives me joy in place of sorrow. He gives me love that casts out fear. He gives me sunshine for my shadow and beauty for ashes here. He gives me joy in place of sorrow. He gives me love that casts out fear. He gives me sunshine for my shadow and beauty for ashes here. I can read the verses more quickly than sing them. So I sing the love of God my Father, whose Spirit abides within, who changes all my grief to gladness and pardons me all my sin. Though clouds may lower dark and dreary, yet He has promised to be near. He gives me sunshine for my shadow and beauty for ashes here. I sing the love of Christ my Savior, who suffered upon the tree, that in the secret of His presence my bondage might freedom be. He comes to bind the brokenhearted. He comes the fainting soul to cheer. He gives me oil of joy for mourning and beauty for ashes here. I sing the beauty of the gospel that scatters not thorns but flowers, that bids me scatter smiles and sunbeams wherever are lonely hours. The garment of His praise it offers for heaviness of spirit drear. It gives me sunshine for my shadow and beauty for ashes here. I pray that we all may behold the Lord, and you know, He'll make us lovely, make us what He wants us to look like, within and without. He gives me joy in place of sorrow. He gives me love that casts out fear. He gives me sunshine for my shadow and beauty for ashes. Amen. Well, there's so much more there in John 10. How mighty He is to keep, and how the people rejected what He was saying about Himself. They even said, He has a devil, He's mad. Why will you hear Him? But we don't do that tonight, do we? He was speaking to the very ones who should have been in the fold. But they didn't want to. They rejected Him. Other sheep have I, He said, that are not of this fold, them also I must bring, And I believe he was speaking about us. Isn't that wonderful? And he's mighty to save, and he's strong to deliver, and he's able to keep. In fact, he spoke about his Father's hand and his own, and he said that his sheep who know his voice and follow him will never perish. No one can pluck them out of his hand. And that's such a wonderful word, too. The one who is mighty to save is mighty to keep. And I pray that, Lord, help us to behold you. And help us then to follow you wherever you lead us. And help us, Lord, to be changed because we look to you in faith. And you have this goal in mind, to have sons and daughters that are just like Jesus. And though it won't be perfected till we get there, you are working in us, and we thank you that you are able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. God can do much more for you along this line than many people believe. He can make you like Jesus, and you don't want to stop short of what he has in mind for you or in store for you. You want to be pure as he is pure. You want to be all that he is wanting to make you. So I ask you tonight to take a few minutes to just look full into his wonderful face before we go. Perhaps you'd like to go to your knees and just say, Jesus. Jesus, this picture that we've been hearing about, this picture of you, put an imprint of it in my mind, in my heart. Help me to see you in all your beauty, not something that I conjure up, but something that your Spirit does for me, making you so great and so glorious, so big and so beautiful in my life. Oh, Lord, help me to see you more clearly. Won't you ask Jesus that tonight before you go from this place? Just say, Jesus, give me a fresh sight of yourself so that I can testify with the Apostle Paul, I have seen the face of Jesus. Tell me not of aught beside. I have heard the voice of Jesus. All my soul is satisfied. And Lord, what will that sight of you mean to me? It will mean that I'll be finished with these things of earth that hinder me and hold me down. And it will mean that my heart will be filled with your praises and with your glory. Oh, what an exchange! What an exchange! And I'll receive that Holy Spirit of God. Oh, Lord, I want to see you tonight more clearly. Help me to use the eye, the inner eye that you gave me for the purpose that it was created. Train that eye on Jesus, and then let me see him, Lord. Let me see him more clearly. Anoint my eyes with eye salve to behold you, to see things as you want me to see them. Don't let me be satisfied with myself or with what I believe I have attained to. No, Lord. Don't let me be satisfied until you are. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Let's spend a little time in his presence, all of us, now. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look forward.